It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 191 of Meat Trapper Radio. It is a nice, bright, and sunny, warm day here in Tennessee. And boy, have we had a lot going on, and have I had a lot going on. May know I've had a lot going on in my personal life. I'm dealing with a very sick elderly mother, so I've been doing some traveling and having to make arrangements. And of course, none of that is any fun. And I may do an episode or a segment on final expenses and final preparations and all of that. But all I can tell you is just between you and I, you need to start saving. So you can die, because dying ain't cheap, let me tell you that. But I know that sounds kind of callous, but it's stunning, the amount of money involved in a funeral and a burial and all of that, and the amount of paperwork, and then dealing with estates and probate and all of that stuff. It's not any fun, but it's something that we're all going to have to deal with one day or the other. So anyway, not to get all morbid and everything, but we've also had a massive tornado that touched down in downtown Nashville. Fortunately, that was south of where I am a little bit. So all we had was some torrential rain, heavy wind, and a heck of a lightning show. But 25 people were killed, and the tornado was on the ground for over 50 miles as it touched down in Nashville, downtown Nashville, and then proceeded eastward. And you know, it reminded me a lot of the tornado that touched down in near Tuscaloosa, Alabama, many, many years ago. And that one was about 4 minutes from my house when I lived down there. And that one also stayed on the ground for miles. And to this day, you can fly over in an airplane and you can see the woods are scarred, where it just, you know, it takes time for the trees and everything to grow back out in the woods. And you can just, it looks like a clear cut, like a power line went through there. But so there's been a lot going on. And unless you've been living under a rock, you probably have seen a little bit about the stock market going wild. And that's what we're going to talk about on the first half of tonight's show. I know that's not really a trapping subject, but it is a survival and a preparedness subject, because even if you're not in the market, it's going to affect you. Okay, if you don't have a 401k, if you don't have anything in the stocks or anything like that, that doesn't matter. You know, it's like people say, I'm not interested in politics. Well, you know what? Politics is interested in you. And people say, I'm not interested in the market. I'm not in the market. Well, the market is interested in you, and the financial system is interested in you. And there may be some people listening that are completely immune to all of it, but not many. And I'm going to explain why and what's going on and why I think we're just getting started on this ride. And no, it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. That's just a scapegoat for the bubbles that have been blown. But anyway, before we get into the meat of the show, let me, as usual, express my gratitude to Mr. Brian McKee of SouthernSnares.com, who is the sponsor of this show. And Brian and his willingness to stick his neck out and be associated with this show speaks volumes about his character and the fact that he is not interested in political correctness or playing it safe. And hopefully you've watched the video that I put out recently on the snare testing, which is on my YouTube channel, and it shows how he tests his cable, how he tests his swivels and his fittings and ferrules and hardware. And it's really, you know, it's nothing exciting to look at, but it does show that numbers don't lie and that you have to test the product that you're selling. And not many people are willing to do that, much less put it on the internet for everybody to see. And Brian is. Now, the season is mostly over unless you're doing ADC work, or, you know, you're in a state that has a late season or a year-round season, like for beaver or what have you. So most people have hung their traps up. And if you're like me, most of the time, when by the time the season's over, you're pretty much done with it. You know, it's been a long season. It's been a lot of cold weather. It's been a lot of hard work. And you sort of put everything away and you'll deal with it again come next season. Well, now is the time that you really need to start thinking about organizing your gear, cleaning your gear, and all of that. And Brian is coming out with a new product, and it's designed to clean and strip your traps and condition the steel, and to set your traps up to be ready for the next year's dip or paint or dye or whatever you use. Because, you know, I get questions all the time. I get the same questions over and over and over and over again. And that tells you, when that happens, that tells you that there's a void out there. There's a void of knowledge or a void of product. Okay, I don't get questions like, what's the best trap to catch raccoons? I get questions on, how do you prep your traps? How do you clean your traps? And everybody's got, you know, their own thing. Oh, I put them in the dishwasher. Oh, I take them to the car wash. Oh, I soak them in a bucket of acid and strip the rust off. And then I neutralize them with baking soda. And everybody's got all these recipes and everything. And so there's, you know, it's like, what's a wives' tale? What works and you know, what doesn't? Well, Brian is developed a product, and it's basically a powder that's going to come in a bag. And what he's looking at is one bag per 5 gallon bucket of water. And so you take this powder, you mix it in to the bucket of water, and then you put your traps in it, and it's going to scour the traps clean, take off all the rust, take off all the paint, take off all the old dip, all the old dye. You know, if you got gunk all over them or rust or whatever, it's going to take them down to bare metal, and it's going to condition the metal so that it comes out and it's ready to accept a light coating of rust, and then be ready for your next dip job or paint job or what have you. So I'm going to be testing that. It's not on the market yet, but look for a video coming out. I'm going to be testing that and making sure that everything is that the proportions are right and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm getting at is, this guy is really, he's not sitting around just selling boxes of traps. He's developing new products that are going to make our lives easier. And so that's important. So anyway, a couple of questions that I get. And I like to answer questions over the air rather than typing out a response, because if the chances are, if one guy's had a question, he's not the only one that's ever had that question, and it may help somebody else. So I got a question. It's a really good one, and it was about, is it possible to set too many traps? And what the guy was doing, he was beaver trapping, and, you know, he's seen my videos where I say, if it's good enough for one, it's good enough for two. And then he watched a video where I put out multiple sets on a dam break. And he was writing, and he said, you know, is it possible to put out too many traps in a small area? Is it going to run the beavers off, you know? And so we got into a conversation. I want to share that. Because what I basically told him was, if you're using lure and lured sets, in my opinion, you can put too many sets into too small of an area. You can overload the area with lure. It's sensory overload. It's intrusion overload. That's very possible. Now, on the other hand, if you're using one lured set, it's not only possible but advantageous, in my opinion, to put multiple traps on the set. That's where I come up with the, if it's good enough for one, it's good enough for two. Okay. And specific example that I shared with him was I was on an ADC job a couple of years ago, and I had gotten every beaver out of this place except for one, and I could not catch this beaver. And the way the terrain was, the way the land was, the only possible set location was on a dam. And I would put a dam break in there, and I'd make my break narrow and deep, which is what you always want to do. If you just make a shallow, wide break in a dam, they'll just push mud up, and they'll push mud all over your traps, you know, bury them in the mud. Really pisses you off. But if you make it narrow and deep, they have to come and they have to stand in front of it and shove sticks and stuff in there to plug that dam up. And when they're standing there moving their feet, that's when you can catch them. Or so I thought. And so I went out there and I put traps. I had two traps in front of the break. And I'd come back and it would be patched up 100%. Nothing. And this happened day after day. And so I started putting more traps, big TS-85s, in front of that dam break. Still nothing. Well, I put a game camera up. And what this guy was doing, he wasn't patching the dam from the water side, from the deep side. He was coming down, noticing the break, getting his materials, his patch repair materials, and his sticks, and he was going around the dam on the downstream side, and he was repairing the dam from the downstream side and shoving the sticks in and then packing the mud. And to pack that mud, he had to get on top of that dam. And that's when I by watching that video, I went out and I put four TS-85s on top of the dam. Four TS-85s within about an area 18 inches by 18 inches square with a trench right through the middle of it. And I caught him that night. So that's my answer to that question. It's not so much that you can put too many traps in an area, but you can put too many sets and too much lure in an area. And those of you that listen to Clint's podcast, you've probably heard him talk about an old trapper from old Cajun trapper down in Louisiana, Montrell Valentine. And when he dealt with beavers, overkill was his only mode. So when he went on to a beaver dam, he was putting 4, 5, 6 TS-85s out on that dam just as a matter of course. You know, he's like, if I'm gonna come all the way out here and carry all this stuff out here, I'm gonna do everything I can to catch him. You know. So anyway, I thought that was a really, really good question, and I hope this helps a little bit. So now, let's talk about the financial market, what's going on, why it's going on, and what this means to you. Now, let me check my monitor here, and let's see, let me log in right quick so that I can give you some up-to-date information. All right, today is Thursday, March the 5th. Okay, because I have to record these episodes in advance, sometimes several days in advance, and by the time it goes live, things can change. So you need to know what day it is. Now, the Dow right now is down 914 points, a huge drop. Now, over the last couple of days, in fact, every day this week, it's either been down 1,000 or up 1,000, and then down 1,000, and then up 1,000. These are huge swings in the market. Huge swings. Now, most people listening to this understand that the market is rigged, that it's fake. It's not a real fundamentally based market. Because after all, if the stock market as a whole adequately and honestly reflected the values of the companies being traded on the market, the fundamentals of all these companies do not change drastically every single day. In other words, the companies don't all of a sudden get worth a lot less on Monday. And then all of a sudden they're back being just worth what they were before the next day. So in other words, you don't get a 1,000-point drop and then a 1,000-point gain based on fundamentals or on real value. There's other stuff going on. There's other stuff driving this. And that's what you need to understand is what this other stuff is. The primary factor is the fact that this country is drowning in debt. And we've talked about debt a lot on this show. Not only are the American people in debt up to their eyeballs, but companies and corporations are in debt up to their eyeballs. The government is in debt up to its eyeballs. And the people trading the stock market are trading it using debt. And this is called trading on the margin. That is, when you want to buy 1 million shares of something, you don't have enough money, you go out and you borrow the money to buy 1 million shares or something of something. And of course, when that happens, if the market moves against you, then you're screwed. Then you've got really, really big problems. And when that happens, you got to sell everything. You got to sell stocks, you got to sell bonds, you got to sell gold, you got to sell Bitcoin, you got to sell everything that's not nailed down to cover those margin calls. So what I want you to understand is what's going on in this market is being driven by the debt bubble, by the huge amount of debt in this country. Now, when you look at interest rates, because there is a direct correlation that has developed between interest rates and the performance of the stock market. Right now, let me switch tabs here. The U.S. 10-year T-bill, the Treasury bond, is trading at 0.92%. This is the lowest interest rate that a U.S. 10-year bond has ever traded at in history today. This is a history-making moment. What does this mean? This means, what does this mean if you're not into finances? What does a 10-year note trading at 0.92% mean? What that means is, one of the safest places you can ever put your money has been in T-bills, treasury bills, treasury bonds, and that is U.S. government guaranteed debt. So what this is if you had $1,000 and you wanted to make a little money on it, but you didn't want any risk, zero risk, you could go and you could buy a treasury bill, a treasury note. And the reason that there's zero risk is because the government's always going to pay you back plus interest. Because the government can print money. So if the government runs out of money, they print more and they give you your money no matter what. So it's a very, very, very safe investment, very highly sought after investment. And you can get these investments, these notes, a 30-day note, 10-year note, you can even go 30 years. Now, traditionally, the longer the duration, the more interest the note would pay. In other words, if you're going to invest in a 30-day note, you're going to make a little bit of interest because you're only doing without your money for 30 days. If you're going to buy a 30-year note, you're going to be without your money for 30 years, so you're going to want more in the way of interest. Now, this is what's known as the yield curve, because if you looked at it on a graph, a 30-day note is going to pay little interest, and a 30-year note is going to pay a lot, and there's going to be this curve all the way through from 30 days to 90 days to a year to 10 years to 30 years, all the way up. And it's going to be sort of a linear type of curve. That's called the yield curve. Now, what has happened? The yield curve has flattened out. In other words, you're going to get about the same amount of interest on a 30-day note as you are a 30-year note. Think about that. Why the heck would anybody put their money up for 30 years if they're not going to make any more interest than they would at 30 days? That's called the yield curve flattening out. That is bad. That's bad because that means nobody has any confidence in what's going to happen 30 years from now. It also means that if they're paying as much on a 30-day note as on a 30-year note, they're kind of uncertain what's going to happen the next 30 days. Now, this is kind of an oversimplification, and I know there are people in the financial industry that are listening to this, and they're probably cringing and furiously typing out corrective notes, and I understand that, but I'm just trying to explain what a treasury note is, what the yield curve is, and that it's no longer a curve, it's a flat line. Now, the actual rates, the 0.92, right now it's just updated, the 10-year treasury is 0.922%. That means it's less than 1% interest. Less than 1% interest. You cannot make any money investing with a return of less than 1% over 10 years. Think about that. Would you give me a $100 bill right now if in 10 years I promised to pay you $100.92? You would make 92 cents for letting me have the $100 bill for 10 years. Would you do that? I wouldn't. Not at all. So, why are rates falling? Why are rates falling? Normally, you would reduce interest rates if the economy were doing poorly. In other words, let's say factories are closing up, people are getting laid off, and people are losing their jobs, and you want to stimulate the economy. You lower interest rates to make it easier for a factory to go out and borrow money, for a guy to go out and borrow money and open a new shoe factory or box factory and hire some people. Because if rates are low, then you're gonna stimulate the economy. And then when the economy gets going too fast and everybody's borrowing and creating all of this stuff, you raise interest rates to kind of slow things down a little bit. Now, if our economy is doing so great, how come rates are so low? That's a good question, isn't it? So what you're going to find is that lowering rates, which is exactly what the Fed did in an emergency action yesterday, they lowered the rates by 50 basis points as an emergency rate cut. It's basically a vote of no confidence in the economy and in the market. We're at the point where we are so saturated with debt that lowering rates no longer gives a boost to things. Because you see, what would happen is if rates went down, you could borrow money and invest it in the stock market. And you didn't have to make as much to pay your loan back because the rates were low. But it's not working anymore. In other words, the Fed is just about out of ammo. And people are finally waking up to it. Now, it's all being blamed on the coronavirus. The coronavirus this and the coronavirus that. And that's a bunch of crap. That's just the virus is nothing but a scapegoat for this debt bubble that is popping. The stock market can lie and play games, but the bond market never lies and never plays games. Remember that. And so everybody's blaming this on the coronavirus. Now, if it was the fault of the coronavirus, would the virus be really bad one day and cause a 1,000-point drop, and then the virus the next day is not so bad and it causes a 1,000-point gain? And exactly how does the coronavirus affect all of the companies on the stock market? Well, it doesn't. It's crap. That's all crap. It's a lie. That's a lie for suckers. So, I said, even if you're not in the market and you're not into finances and you don't have a 401k and you don't own stocks or anything, why should you care? I'll tell you exactly why you should care. Because we are going to have negative interest rates in this country before much longer. That is my prediction. You can write it down, March the 5th, 2020. Meat Trapper says we're going to go negative on rates. I may be wrong. They may be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat. You know, Bullwinkle may be able to reach into his hat and pull Rocky the Flying Squirrel out and save the day. But I don't think so. So what do negative interest rates mean? Negative interest rates, basically, to put it bluntly, is the bank is going to charge you for money that you put in your account. I want you to think about how screwed up that is. Normally, if you have $100, like when we were little, go open a savings account. Take your paycheck, put 10% of your paycheck in your savings account. You'll earn interest on it, and one day you'll have lots of money. Well, what does everybody want? A rate of return. What's my rate of return? What's the interest rate? How much am I going to make? You know, what's the interest rate on this CD? What you're going to have with negative rates is you're going to go down to the bank and say, I want to buy a CD. What interest rates are you paying? Or I want to put this in the savings account. What's the interest rate? And they're going to say, well, we're only going to charge you 3%. And you're like, wait, what? You're going to charge me to put money in the bank? Yes, that's exactly what negative rates are. Why would they do that? Because they don't want you to save. They want you to go out and buy Chinese crap. They want you to go out and buy a new F-150 Raptor or whatever the... You know, they want you to go buy a new $70,000 pickup truck loaded with electronics. That's what they want you to do. They want you to put that money in the stock market where they can manipulate it. You see, if you save it, if you put it in the bank and save it, you're not going along with the plan, buddy. What is it George Bush said right after 9/11? Go out and spend some money. Go out and buy something. Show the enemy you're not afraid to go shopping. Why? Because they can't have the economy seize up, the debt-based economy. They got to have your money, and they're going to get it one way or the other. And if you won't put it in the market, And if you won't go out and buy the new $70,000 pickup truck, if you think you're going to stick it in the bank, well, they'll show you. They'll charge you for sticking it in the bank. Now, do you see why it doesn't matter if you're in the market or not? The market's coming for you. They want your money, and they're going to get it. So what's the answer? Hard assets. And if you've ever listened to the episodes that I did many, many moons ago about living through hyperinflation when I was in Bolivia, even holding cash in a safe was a terrible idea. So hard assets, that could be gold coins, that could be silver coins, that could be a tractor, that could be a bobcat. You see a tractor or a bobcat, something like that, will not only hold its value, but it allows you to perform work and add value, so you can use that piece of equipment to generate income. And then when you're finished generating your income, you have a stable store of value, and you can sell that bobcat or that tractor. If you know how to work on cars, trucks, there's a Patreon member who does a lot with trucks. He'll go to an auction. He knows what to look for. He buys a truck that needs a little bit of work. He's got a parts yard. He puts the parts on it, fixes it up, sells it, makes a nice profit. In the meantime, his money is in a hard asset. It's not sitting in a savings account in a bank. So it's and his assets, cars and trucks, are liquid. You know, it's pretty easy to sell them. It's not like it's not like buying the Mona Lisa or a Monet or something, where not just everybody is always in the market for the Mona Lisa, right? But there's a lot of people out there, and they all need cars and trucks. So anyway, I felt like I had to share that, and I had to get it off my chest. Because when you're seeing the news, and you see 1,000 points up, and you see 1,000 points down, you need to understand that the market is fake, the market is rigged, the market is a debt bubble. The entire country is a debt bubble. And we're starting to see the beginnings of the chickens coming home to roost. And in my opinion, you're going to see periods where the market is going to skyrocket again. You're going to see periods where it's going to appear to be normal, where it's going to appear to level out. But until the bond market gets straight, all bets are off. I'm glad I'm out. And if you want to educate yourself, I'm going to leave you with two suggestions. Number one, there is a video that you can go to YouTube and watch, and it's about a 30-minute video. And if you will sit down and watch this 30-minute video, you will know more about the economy of this country and how the Federal Reserve works than 99.99% of the people in this country. And the video is called "The Biggest Scam in the History of Mankind, Hidden Secrets of Money, Episode 4. The Biggest Scam in the History of Mankind, Hidden Secrets of Money, Episode 4. And the channel is it's called Gold Silver with Mike Maloney. It's a great video. It's absolutely the best video I've ever seen, where in 30 minutes you could sit down and have a watch party with your friends or your family or your parents. And it's stunning. The other tip that I have for you is, there's a guy who has a YouTube channel. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. And his name is Gregory Manarino, M-A-N-N-A-R-I-N-O. And this guy, he lives in Las Vegas, but he's an Italian guy. And he looks sort of like, I hate to say this, but it's sort of the stereotypical New York Italian mobster guy. You know, he has the New York accent, you know. But the guy, I've been following him for a while, and his predictions and his logic and his rationale have been absolutely spot on. And before this market crash, 2 days before the crash occurred, he publicly put on YouTube that he had sold everything because the market was going to crash. And people laughed at him, especially the next 2 days went by. Nothing happened. People were mocking him. And then we had the big drop. And but he's a very, very, very spot on guy, Gregory Mannarino. I don't agree with everything that he says, you know. You never do. Nobody agrees with everything I say, and I don't agree with everything they say. But the guy is very eye-opening, and I would strongly suggest you check him out if you're interested in these things. All right, now, if you are a Patreon member, stay tuned for the second half of tonight's show. We're going to do a little bit about talking about survival fishing and hand lines and a couple of other topics. I've got some interesting stuff I want to share with you. My buddy Eric has sent me something that I'm going to share with you. And also, if you're on Patreon, you're aware of the trap giveaway that we're doing. Daniel has volunteered a dozen Bridger 1.75s, and we're having a giveaway for somebody, hopefully a kid or somebody who needs a little extra help and can't afford to go out and buy a dozen traps. And so I really appreciate Daniel's generosity, and it shows just what kind of a tribe we have at Patreon. So anyway, if you're a member, stay tuned, and if not, consider signing up. Go to patreon.com/meattrapper and join the team.
Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to.